Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Of the many things that can be said of God's Word, the one thing that continually astonishes me is its practicality. What I mean by this is, as we study the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, over and over we find that the truths that were written thousands of years ago meet us exactly where we are today. And this is not only so because what has been recorded in the Bible was written by men who endured similar situations of life, but this is true because what we hold in our hands is authored by God Himself. The Bible is a practical book, and I would say it is the most practical book ever written, and it is the most practical book that will ever be written, because it was authored by our Creator who knows us. The Bible exposes who we are. The Bible exposes what we think. It exposes what we are tempted to do. And this is only because God knows our personal thoughts. God knows our troubles, and God knows our temptations. And He not only knows our inward attitudes, but He knows our outward circumstances. He not only knows our inward attitudes, but He has allowed the circumstances that flow from our attitudes to come to pass. So it is no surprise then why the author of Hebrews calls the Word of God a book that is alive and active. This book was given by inspiration of God. This book is a holy book that was breathed from the Creator Himself. Though God used holy men, what has been said in the Word of God was given by His sovereign will. So as we come to the Word of God, we confess that it is pure, it is powerful, but it is also practical. With these things in our minds, let's look at the practicality of the words before us in Isaiah chapter 26. The text reads, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Now let's stop there. I want you to notice first the desire of man. What is man's desire? Well, we read of it here in the text. Man's desire is peace. While the context of what is said applies to Christians, we can certainly apply it evangelistically to those who do not know the Lord. It is an undeniable truth that the lost world yearns for peace. They yearn for lasting inward peace, continual peace of mind, peace with others, and financial peace. Yet the world remains unsuccessful in attaining it. The unbeliever, we could say, is in an endless pursuit of peace. The unbeliever is like a hamster on a wheel that runs and runs and runs, but there are walls within the wheel, and he is running trying to pursue peace to no avail. Now, the unbeliever deals with the same problems as the believer. But those who do not belong to God, though they taste the troubles of life, know not peace. The unbeliever experiences the death of loved ones. They experience health and financial crisis. They experience abandonments by family and friends. They experience fear of the future, inward anxieties, but the fundamental difference between the believer and the unbeliever is that the unbeliever does not have an anchor for their soul. And having no anchor for their soul, they try to find peace through things that cannot bring peace. They're tossed on the raging waters of life, and they are thrown from disappointment to disappointment. The lost world attempts to find peace in romantic relationships, financial increase, the obtaining of physical possessions, enjoying lavish vacations, and only finds itself heartbroken, divorced, in debt, and dealing with their sorrows through drugs or alcoholic beverages. Just look at Hollywood, the mirage of peace. Of all people, you would think athletes and celebrities and hip-hoppers and all these great people with great amounts of money would know something of peace with their private jets and their private islands and their great mansions and the money that man could only dream of. And yet here they are, bouncing from drug rehab to drug rehab. Here they are, bouncing from one marriage to the next. Here they are committing suicide after suicide because they do not know peace. Those without Christ sometimes go from doctor to doctor, prescription medication to medication, from self-help book to self-help book, sometimes from religion to religion, in an empty, hopeless quest to find peace. And it's no wonder why people are so depressed. It's no wonder why the suicide rate continues to rise, because people do not have peace. Oh, they claim to be happy. They may post pictures of them smiling on their social media accounts. They may fool others at the place of their employment by pretending life is great. But in the reality of their soul, when they are facing the difficulties of life, not knowing why they exist, not knowing if their life has a purpose, they are those who long to know peace. Though they do not know necessarily where to find peace and how to obtain peace, because they are spiritually blind to the truths of God's Word, one glance at the world will show us that man longs to be at peace. For those of you who lived during the 60s and 70s, you saw the desire for peace sung about at music concerts. You saw the desire for peace spoken about on school campuses. And you saw the desire for peace advertised on the side of VW vans. You remember the neon colors. I wasn't there. I could only look at pictures. The throwing up of two fingers, commonly referred to as the peace sign, wasn't pigeonholed to one nation and one decade, but remains a worldwide declaration that has echoed throughout the years. And this is man's desire. Peace. Just think about what the world comforts itself with when death comes. What is commonly hoped for when a family member dies? For the one who has died, isn't it commonly etched on the tombstone of their family and friends? R.I.P. Rest in peace. Even people who are not religious, people who claim to be atheists, one desire still is there in their hearts. They hope that the person that they knew is at peace. Peace. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody here this morning who desires to know this peace. The peace that only God can give. This peace that is in your heart, but this peace that remains dark because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare to you by the authority of God's Word that you can know the peace of God by looking to the Prince of Peace, believing in His gospel of peace that is sufficient to save your soul. The gospel message is a message of peace. Because naturally, lost man is at war with God. The Bible says that man, because of his sin and rebellion, is at enmity with God. Man is blind, fulfilling the pleasures of this life. Man carries on seeking to do the will of Satan. And so being at enmity with God, he doesn't have peace within his soul until he comes to an acknowledgement that he is guilty, that he has offended a holy God, and that this God has sent his Son into the world so that his Son might give peace to all who believe in him. You understand, peace does not come by anything that we are or anything that we do. Peace comes by believing on who Christ is. And Christ is our peace. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who came to become sin for us. You see, on the cross, Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God in our place, because it was the only way for us to be at peace with God. Sin had to be punished. Sin is offensive before a holy and righteous God. Sin separates us from God the Father, and Jesus Christ laid down his life. Jesus shed his blood, and he rose again the third day so that we might be justified by faith. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God does not come by saying your prayers. Peace with God does not come by attending a church. Peace with God does not come by you becoming moral. Peace with God comes through a person. It comes through the way, the truth, and the life. And you must believe that he is who he has said he is. You must believe that he is your sin substitute, that he is the friend of sinners, willing and ready to give you peace with God at this moment, should you receive him. Now, how does this text apply to the Christian? That will keep him in perfect peace. How does this apply to the one who already has peace with God through the saving power of Jesus Christ? We know that while Christians have an anchor for their soul, they possess a peace that passes all understanding. There are times in which Christians face severe trials and troubles. There are times in the Christian life where we know great heartache and loss. Is that not true? Joseph, Job, Naomi, Esther, David in the Psalms, the persecuted prophets and apostles all illustrate this truth. The question then is, how do Christians persevere? How do Christians maintain joy in the midst of their fears, failures, and trouble? Well, God tells us. The answer is given in the second line of the verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There it is. That's the pathway to knowing peace. That's the method of remaining steadfast through the uninvited changes and undesired storms of life. Listen, what I am about to tell you is worth the weight of all the gold of the world. The practical practice for possessing peace is through persistently pondering the person of God. Do we need to say that 10 times fast? Let me say it one more time. The practical practice for possessing peace is through persistently pondering the person of God. Now, when your mom and dad ask you, what did you learn in church today? You can repeat that. Now, some may kick back at this and say, well, that's too simple. Surely that can be sufficient to give me peace. You don't know what I'm going through. I need something more, something tangible, something that I can see with my physical eyes. And I say to such people that you will never know peace unless you have the faith that God's ways are the best ways. Do not turn away from the simplicity of God's decree here. The Bible is not only practical, it is very, very simple. That is, it is not difficult to understand and follow. Living for the Lord is not complicated. Don't let the theologians of this world make it to be. Oh, I did not say living for the Lord is easy, because it's not. Jesus said, if a man is to follow me, he is to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Paul says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Christian life is not easy, but the Christian life is not complex if you do as God has said. Do you want to know peace? Fix your mind on the Lord. That's what the Lord says. I know the response is, how do we do it? How do we fix our mind on the Lord? Here it is. By filling your mind with the truth about God. In other words, preach to yourself. If you want to know peace, you must preach God's word to yourself. Now, because the Bible is simple and practical, I want to make sure I strive to be simple and practical in my preaching. So let me describe what I mean. Suppose you find yourself under a dark cloud of discouragement. For whatever reason, the reasons are many, and we've all been there. You know those dark clouds of discouragement where you wake up in the morning and all you want to do is cover your head with your pillow or your blankets. You don't want to face reality. You don't want to face the world. The doctor delivers to you troubling news. You receive a phone call from a family member with troubling news. You are concerned about an erring child who is not doing right. Your job is unstable. Your marriage is hanging by a thread. Your heart becomes filled with anxiety. You feel alone. You are fearful about the future. You do not know how you are going to make it through the week. What should you do? Your peace is rattled by the current circumstances of life. Here's what you do. You say to yourself, why am I so discouraged? You say to yourself, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is the God of all comfort. He is my refuge and my strength. He is my help in times of trouble. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. You preach to yourself, God is righteous in all of His ways and holy in all of His works. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What are you doing? You're reminding yourself of who God is. You're reminding yourself that you have been given a supernatural strength through the power of the Spirit and through the sufficiency of God's Word to keep you persevering. That's what you're doing. The lost world doesn't have this. The lost world goes crazy when the rug is pulled from under their feet because they don't know peace. But we have the Prince of Peace given to us in the Word of God. The Word of Peace, and as we fill our mind with Him, we're able to endure any storm. Now suppose your peace has been rattled by sin. The devil comes to your ear and whispers, come on, give it a try. Look, taste, see, enjoy the pleasures of this life. God's not watching. You can get away with it. There are no consequences. What do you do? Here's what you do. Preach truth. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, I need to fix my mind on the Lord. What passage can I bring to remembrance? Well, there hath no temptation been given to us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and in His faithfulness He will make a way of escape so that I might by His grace be able to bear it. There it is. That's it. God's faithfulness is given to us in His Word as an anchor for our soul when our soul is being rattled by sin. And we pray, God, in Your faithfulness, please help me. God, You were faithful to help Joseph when he was tempted by sin. God, You were the aid of the apostles when they were tempted to give way to sin. So, Lord, in your faithfulness, come to me now. When you've given into the whispering ear of temptation and in your flesh you have disobeyed the commandment of God, you do not know peace. All you know is shame. What is the pathway to get back on the pathway of peace? Well, you bring your minds to the truth of God's word, just like David did in his confession psalm of Psalm 51. Look at David's prayer, Psalm 51 sometime, and note the times that he is speaking about God. Here he is confessing his sin and he looks Godward. Have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be as white as snow. He's looking to the Lord. He's remembering the Lord's love, grace, mercy, and willingness to forgive, and is restoring peace unto them. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We go to the Lord reminding ourselves, if God can forgive David of his sin, surely he can forgive us. The just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, the devil wants to keep you down. The devil wants to take your spiritual face and put it in the mud, keep you suffocated from the life of God. The devil wants to put you so far down in the muds of sin so that your ears cannot hear the promises of God. But what God is saying here in Isaiah 26 is, you must hear the promises of God so that you will have victory over sin. In hearing them, you must preach the truths to your heart. Now, suppose your peace is being shaken by temptations to quit. Have you been in that boat before? Why am I serving the Lord like I do? Why am I sacrificing my time? There seems to be little fruit from it. There seems to be little appreciation for what I do. Why am I doing all this? I could be doing 1,000 other things. And you're tempted to quit running the race of faith. You're tempted to become cold spiritually. Perhaps you're tempted to quit loving your spouse as God has commanded you to do. Perhaps you're tempted to quit being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you do? Your peace is being rattled. You preach truth to yourself. What's the truth you preach? Did God quit on Adam when Adam fell? Did God quit on Israel when Israel strayed from the commandments of God? Did Christ quit when others rejected Him? And does Christ quit on us now when we run to His throne of grace? The answer is no. God doesn't quit on us, so we cannot quit on Him. Are you still following me? Let me give you one more example. Suppose your peace is being shaken by temptations to doubt. Well, here we are in 2020 and things are dark. Christianity is being thrown out the window. Few are coming to know Christ as Savior. Few are willing to receive an invitation to church. Churches are compromised. And will Christ indeed build His church? Will souls be saved? Will our church stand the test of time? What do? We preach truth to ourselves. Christ has promised to build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He has promised to do a work that we cannot do. He has promised to do the impossible, so we trust in Him. But listen, you can only do what I am saying if you fill your mind with the Word. You cannot know God unless you personally read His Word and hear His Word preached. The Bible reveals who God is. This book that we hold in our hands is not a book of history lessons. It's not a book of fictional stories. It's not a dead, dry, doctrinal book. It is a book highlighting the character of God. And those who struggle the most in their Christian lives abandon this simple spiritual exercise. They do not go to the book that reveals to them God, the God who wants to have a relationship with them. And if you don't read the Word, you will not know the Word. And if you do not know the Word, you will not know God. And if you do not know God, you will not know peace. Someone says, well, I read the Word all the time. I still struggle. I read the Word for hours on end. And this is a common thing that I hear among professing Christians. Oh, they're downcast, troubled all the time. There never seems to be any joy. There never seems to be any hope. They're going to church. They're reading the Word of God. But there's a problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. It's not only vital that you read the Word, but that you believe the Word. So many people read the Word, but it just goes in one word and out the other. They read the Word as a book of facts, not as spiritual transforming truths that transform the heart. Not as something that brings them to God, their Savior, their rock, their fortress, and their salvation, their hope and joy in all that He is. Look at it. Thou will keep in Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Why? Because He trusteth. Not just because He readeth, but He trusteth in Thee. Keep going. Trust. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Doesn't say just read about the Lord forever. No, trust in Him. God has given us His Word not only so that we might read it, but that we might believe it. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to grow. Without faith, it's impossible to endure the trials of life. Someone comes to me and tells me their troubles. Well, they tell me their sorrows. And I ask sometimes, well, what have you been reading? And here's a common response. Well, I read about Paul. I read about David and Goliath. I read about Daniel in the lion's den. I read about Joseph. I read about Jesus. And I say, okay, so what? What about them? Paul traveled from city to city. That's it? That's all you have? What? Well, he preached. That's it? No. Look at Paul's weaknesses. Shipwrecked, abandoned, left for dead, preaching, doing the will of God. Thrown in prison, singing at midnight. Why? Why? How could he sing at midnight? Because he knew his God. Is that God your God? See, that's where we're getting to some theological truth that matters. Look at Job. Look at Joseph. Circumstances came into their life unwanted. But was God with them? God was with them. Did God do exceeding abundant all they could ever ask or think? Yes, in both of their lives. Did they have seasons of doubts and trials and heartaches? Yes, they did. Yes, they are men like us. But God, God saw them through. Shallow readers produce shallow warriors. Don't be a shallow reader. As you read the Word of God, continually look for Christ. As you read the Word of God, receive it in your soul with all the circumstances that surround you at this moment. It applies to you right now where you are. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be as far as the circumstances of life. But God shows us through all the circumstances of life, God is there. The way to know peace is not to empty your mind, like some religions teach. It's not to go to yoga class and just think of nothing. The way to peace is by filling your mind with God. And do you know that Satan will distract you from filling your mind with God? And if there's ever a day where we've struggled with this, where man has struggled more than ever, surely it's our day. And that's why Christians struggle as well. The way to know peace is not to distract your mind from reality. And that's the easy thing to do. Well, if I don't think about the situation, it'll just go away. It's like taking black duct tape and putting it over your check engine light on the car. Just pretending it's not there. No, that's not how you do it. You deal with it. The check engine of life is on. You have problems and circumstances that trouble your soul. You take care of it by reminding yourself of God. You don't give hours to video games and movies and YouTube videos and various activities. This is why Christians are so spiritual weak. We are distracted. We fill ourselves up with everything but God. Somebody will come to my office, Pastor, I need counseling. I need hours of counseling. And most of the time, here's what I say. I hate to seem cruel, but it's not. I say, I haven't seen you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm not going to spend much time counseling with you. You know why? They're ignoring the Word of God. I have all these problems. Well, tell me about your personal relationship with the Lord. Yeah, well, but yeah. No. This is what God's saying. Simple. Practical. Oh, people fix their minds on sports for hours. 3-hour ball game here, 4-hour ball game there, television, politics, social media, and video games. And I noticed video games are not only for the youth anymore, they're available on iPhones and iPads. And some older people are addicted to them, popping bubbles for hours. The mind will not have anything substantial to pull from to give the soul strength if we don't put our mind on the Lord. Now, I want you to think about Isaiah's words in the context of what was going on and who he was speaking this to. God's people, Israel, have been living in disobedience. God's chosen people, the nation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation that was promised of the coming Son of God, the Messiah, who would be the Redeemer, the Savior of those who would believe on Him. Israel has become deaf to God's commands. They've turned their back on the Lord. And because of their hypocritical actions, God is going to discipline His people by taking them captive at the hands of their enemies. In other words, all that they knew as a nation was going to be turned upside down. Where they worshipped was going to be turned upside down. Where they lived was going to be turned upside down. Who their leaders were was all about to be altered. Their external circumstances were anything but peaceful. The Assyrians growing, Babylon taking us out of our land. This is anything but peaceful. Nevertheless, Isaiah continually tells the nation to fix their minds not on what they see, but what they know. Now you look at the current context of the world and just look at Isaiah and you say, simple, practical. More than any book of the prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah heralds the glorious truth that Jesus Christ, the sovereign King, the Messiah, is coming. The prophecy is of Christ's virgin birth, His sacrificial death, His willingness to forgive is traced throughout Isaiah's book. Why? Because in the midst of all the discipline of God, in the midst of their captivity, Isaiah wants them to fix their mind on God. Because it's the only thing that's going to get them through. Listen, believer, what I am saying will transform your Christian life if you put it into practice. It will help you more than any human counselor. Psalm 119. David says God's word are His counselors. Job, Joseph, David are His counselors. God is His counselor, the Spirit. What I am saying will give you encouragement more than any written book. It will strengthen you in the midst of the darkest days, and it will transform you into a powerful soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know our weapon of warfare as a soldier of Jesus Christ is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? And do you know what the Lord Jesus used in spiritual battle when Satan tempted Him? The very written Word of God. Jesus Christ, the God-man, used Scripture. He filled His mind with God to give us an example of how to have perfect peace. Now I conclude by pointing your attention to Philippians chapter number 4. Real quick, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And I leave you with this parallel passage. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9. Again, if anybody can preach to us about peace in the midst of troubling circumstances, surely it's the Apostle Paul. Here he is praising God at midnight. Here he is continuing on serving the Lord, strong in his faith, though he is forsaken and abandoned, though he is persecuted. Philippians chapter 4, this book of rejoicing. He says, verse 6, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. Whose mind is stayed on thee? What's he doing? He's praying, and in his praying, he's directing his attention unto God. Notice next. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Shall keep. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So as you fix your mind upon God, God promises to keep our hearts and minds through him. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what should we do? Think on these things. And these are all manifestations of Christ. Christ is true. Christ is honest. Christ is just. Christ is pure. Christ is lovely. You think on him, and those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Put him into practice. And if you do, what will happen? You're still with me? I'm 30 seconds from being done. What will happen if you do? See the word do? Don't miss do. If you do what Paul is saying, if you think on things, setting your affections on things above, the God of peace shall be with you. The practical practice for possessing peace is through persistently pondering the person of God. Let's pray.